At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
The information discussed on this show is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content is for general informational purposes only.
It's Guy's Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, and it's all about a Japanese format for enhancing your well-being and clearing energetic blockages and bringing about the best version of you mentally, physically, and spiritually. I have been a practitioner at the master level and teacher level for about 20 years. It's really helped me a lot. I can work on myself. I can give myself a Reiki session, which is fantastic. I've received a lot of sessions and attunements, and it's really helped kind of calm me down. For me, at least, my experience has been kept me calm. It's put me in a position to bring out the best version of myself and eliminate a lot of stress. And all of that adds up to putting people in a position where they can get better, heal themselves. Now, it's not like, oh, I'm going to do Reiki so I don't need to take my medicine or whatever. It's not about that. I took it. I got a session in the hospital after an operation. It really helped me out a lot. I've done a lot of sessions, again, on myself. It's helped me out a lot. That doesn't preclude when I need allopathic medicine and treatment. It's just something that a lot more people are doing. Nurses are learning how to do it in their practices, and there's more and more practitioners around the world. The practice, most people believe it began in Japan. It was a lost art. It came back through a fellow by the name of Master Usui in Japan, and about 100 years ago, and has been passed down through the same lineage to most practitioners called the Usui lineage, and we get attuned, and this is how it enhances our ability to conduct a Reiki session, which is usually either hands-on or hands-off approach where we can kind of find out what's going on with somebody and help break down some of the blockages and push them aside that might be getting in the way of somebody's health, whether it be mental, physical, or spiritual, and put them in a position so they can really bring out the best in themselves. And hopefully, if they have something, maybe they can heal themselves. Because as we know, a lot of these practices, they don't heal you. And I don't believe Reiki heals you. I believe it puts you in a position where you can help heal yourself. And then you want to use Western medicine and everything else. That's cool. So I'm not a doctor. My guest, Brownwin Logan, who put together this wonderful Reiki source book, is not a doctor either. And we're just going to talk about some of the benefits and protocols that are involved with the Reiki practice. And it's really interesting stuff. And I think you're going to learn a lot. And I think you're really going to enjoy our conversation here today on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio is the interview portion of our show, and today we're going to speak about a topic that's near and dear to my heart. It's Reiki. And we're going to get into what actually Reiki is, how it works, all types of history. My special guest is Brownwin Logan, also known as Brownwin Stein. Brown is an educator in the Japanese art of Reiki, as well as a writer, animal lover, and you can do Reiki with animals, a thinker, a feminist, and a catalyst for spiritual and personal empowerment. She's got over 25 years teaching experience and counting. Bronwyn's teachings extend beyond the conventional, inviting you to explore the deeper transformative elements of the system of Reiki. Let me hold up the book right now. The name of the book is the Reiki Source Book. I believe it's the 20th anniversary, a timeless reference book for Reiki practitioners on all levels. I'm delighted to introduce Brownwin Logan to Guys Guys Radio. Hello, Brownwin. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Robert. Thanks for asking.
And you're coming to us from where in Australia?
I am just outside of the Blue Mountain. Oh, sorry, outside of Sydney in the Blue Mountains. So, Sydney, Australia.
Yep. Okay, fantastic. So just So level set here. I am, as I mentioned to Bronwyn off camera, I am a Reiki master teacher, and it's something I pride myself in. I don't do it a lot, but one of the things I love to do is I love to give a session to myself, and it really opens up a lot of emotional release and things like that. And it's something that I've been doing for 25 years, and I took my time learning level one, and then a year or so later, level two, then a year or so later, level three, and then a few years later for the master and teaching so I could attune other people. And it's just changed my life in a really positive way. And I really want to get into that and so much more with our special guest, Bronwyn Logan. So I think as a starting point, maybe we should talk about, for those who have heard the term but may not be familiar with what Reiki is and what it does, because it's becoming more and more mainstream here in America.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, a definition could be that the system of Reiki is a Japanese spiritual practice, and it promotes healing, compassion, well-being. So that's all a little vague, I guess. It includes five different elements. So if you're practicing, everyone who practices a system of Reiki then works with precepts, so very simple guidelines on how to live a happy, healthy life. It works with hands-on healing, which a lot of people know. So it's something you could do on yourself and something you could do on other people. And it also works with symbols and mantras. So Japanese symbols and mantras, some of them are actually Japanese just words, you know, regular words that are in Japanese vocabulary. And that's influenced by Japanese Shinto and Buddhist aspects of the practice, because the founder himself was obviously Japanese. It's from the early 1900s. So it's just over 100 years old, but it's drawn on these elements that I'm talking about come from a variety of areas within Japan especially at that time, at the early 1900s, they were quite common. There's also something called a Reiju, which is like an initiation process, which actually comes from a Buddhist practice. There's one more element. I always forget one of the elements when I'm trying to list them off. Anyway, it'll come to me as we talk along. But okay. So the thing is that, yeah, there's these different aspects. And if you're practicing, these are the things that you work with.
Okay. Let's make this kind of a conversation, because since I am familiar with it, you can educate me while educating our audience. And I think that might be good for everybody, because we can look at this topic from a lot of different levels. So my understanding, when somebody says, what is Reiki or what is Raki? What are you doing? I said, I open up my crown and take in energy, and correct me, I'm wrong. And it comes out through my hands. And it's not like you're putting your energy into other people. You're taking source energy and pushing it out. And I think that's incredibly important, that people don't think that you're giving your energy away. The other thing I picked up along the way is I kind of learned that, you know, the Reiki doesn't heal you. It puts you in a position to eliminate blockages so you can heal yourself. That I was taught, Bronwyn, that it's like imagine a river, and there's a stone on the river, and kind of gets pushed to the side so the river can flow more effortlessly. And I have found that working with people, well, two things. One, I found that one of the great things about Reiki is you can give yourself a session. You can take an hour and lay down and give yourself a session. You'll get just as much out of it as if somebody else did it for you, which is tremendous, where you really can't give you. You can do some pressure points, but it's hard to give yourself a really good massage. The other thing is that people go through a lot of emotional stuff when you're giving them a Reiki session. You never know what you're going to get. It could be anything from farting to crying, but it usually comes in form of a release, and they usually feel better after that. I get people call me up if I work on them, and after their drive home, they'll say, "I cried the whole way home, but now I feel better." But it's eliminating blockages and release. Help me out with that, Bronwyn.
Yeah, so many points. So Starting at the end, I always say that it's about letting go, which is exactly what you're saying. So that whole thing that we're, the sort of the cliche of being an onion, if I were an onion, then, I'm peeling away these onion layers to try to get back to who I am. And those layers are those rocks in the river that you're talking about. So, trying to remove the things that I've actually added on. So as I've gone through life and I've had different experiences and I've tried to protect myself or whatever I'm doing, trying to create myself, then these are all these different layers of the onion. And if we can let go of those things, we can actually get back to a more core universal self, actually. And that self is a being that doesn't need to protect itself, because it can be open and remembering that connectedness through to everything. So if we go back to the beginning of what you were saying about what it is, if we look at the word Reiki, it can be translated in lots of different ways. And one of the ways is spiritual energy. And it tells this story of what the actual kanji, the Japanese character for Reiki, actually tells the story of what it is. And it says that in the beginning, there was this, in Buddhist belief, there was the earth and there was the heavens. This is how the Japanese Buddhists believe it. And the earth and the heavens come together and they blend and they created us. Yeah, they create life. And so we are this life force that actually comes out of everything around us. So trying to work out how it might actually work, how does the energy work? Well, we are Reiki, so we are this energy, but we're also a part of this energy. So there actually isn't like a border or a definition between us energetically, if we're thinking of this great energy that moves the world, that has created the world. So we're a part of that. And when we're actually practicing the system of Reiki, so working with these different elements. Oh, by the way, the element I forgot was the meditations and techniques. So the things that you would use to work on yourself. Yep. And yeah, so if we're a part of everything, then what we're really trying to do is to remember that interconnection that we have with everything. So when I do a Reiki treatment, you're saying, oh, the energy comes from here, moves to there. I mean, we can see it in all sorts of ways. If I were going to say it, I would say that I guess I don't see myself as a cookie cutter. So I'm not like someone you could cut out and say, this is me energetically, and then I cut you out, that's you energetically. Because it isn't actually like that, because as I just explained, we're just a part of it, and we're just another shifting, moving part of the world, the universe energetically. So when I do a Reiki treatment, then I am sitting back into this space with my intention, so intent. And my intention is to be open, so to remember that connection and to invite, if I'm doing it on a client, to invite that client into that space with me. So, as you said, it's not my energy. It's not like I've got some sort of patent on my energy. I can't grab it and hold it. So, I'm really actually doing the opposite. I'm letting go into everything. And I'm sitting in that open space, inviting that client in. And together we sit in that space together and we allow the energy to do what it needs to do. And we are that energy, right? So it sometimes when we're talking with words, it gets a bit, yeah, but we are that energy. So if we just go back to that visual image of you have the earth and you have the heavens coming together, creating us, that's these three sort of layers, if you like. And we are a mirror of that. So we work with, in the Japanese aspects of the system, we work with the hara. So just below the belly button, that's when we do meditations. We breathe into that area, strengthening that area. And that is the earth. Then we move up to the head. Our head is a mirror of the heavens. And it's that lovely, open, spacious, intuitive space. And the two of them come together at the heart. And that is, for me, that's the center of the universe. It's that lovely, open space of compassion and memory of interconnection. So I am this mirror of the universe, and I'm sitting into that space, and it's like I am the universe when I'm doing a treatment. So that's pretty amazing.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about the kind of the history. My understanding of the history of Reiki and the Asui lineage, and Asui was this Japanese man, was that Reiki may have been started back in India. Some people say that. It came to Japan. Somebody, I don't know if it was Asui or not, was up on a mountain, and it came to him. There was a lost art. In other words, it was thousands of years old, and then it was lost. And then Asui, I think, was up on a mountain, and the information for Reiki came to him, and he came down and he started building it out. And I think his wife helped him. And that's the lineage where he attuned his wife. And then his wife, after he passed, started attuning other people. And then the attunements have spread and spread and spread. And like, I have a lineage of Asui. So I've been, you know, connected to Asui through all these different people. So for folks out there to kind of comprehend that, hopefully I made it clear, but it's, you get attuned, and you get attuned from somebody who's at the master level. And it's, there are symbols that are used to work with Reiki. There is a power symbol. There's another one there's distance Reiki. So you can do, I remember giving somebody Reiki treatments all the time. They had cancer, trying to help them out. So you can do that. And you can also clear past situations and future situations as well as current situations, as you were saying, Brown, when it's like everything's happening kind of at the same time, and we're all interconnected. So maybe you can kind of clean that up for us, what I just said about the history of Reiki and the symbols and where we are right now. Because I want to get into this wonderful book, the Reiki Source book, because there's so much to it. And I have some very important questions to ask you about that.
Yeah, sure. Well, actually, all the things that I'm going to say right now, you would be able to look up in the Reiki Source book and be able to answer those questions for yourself. It's got an amazing glossary in the back, for example, where you can look at people, practices, all sorts of things, anything to do with the system of Reiki, look it up in the back and it'll give you an answer. So that's been a great joy to be able to get that out there and help people to find their way through all of this information. And that's what I can see with what you're saying. You know, the thing is that historically, the guy who started it, Usui, was from a samurai family in Japan. But it was also a weird time to be a samurai, because it was exactly at that point that the Meiji Emperor of Japan decided to open up Japan after 300 years and to change the way things had been done. And one of the major changes that he made was to actually close down the samurai system. That wouldn't have been too great. So here you are, you know, the whole thing about samurai families is they're these clans and they pass down stories within them and practices, and then all of a sudden that's gone. And the Meiji Emperor also moved away from Buddhism, moved the country back closer to Shintoism, which is like a folk religion. You know, we could almost relate it to paganism, for example, in the West. So this more original form of practice before Buddhism came to Japan. So the founder of the system of Reiki was born into an era as a samurai that didn't really have a future. And we can see that this is where most Japanese martial arts come from today. So judo, kendo, these practices, or aikido, they were originally samurai family practices, and then they got disbanded. So they started teaching them to regular people like you and me. So Mikao Usui has come out of that. So whatever was moving down through his family, he actually talks about this. There are some old manuals, and in the beginning of one of these manuals, he does say that, you know, he did come from this sort of these origins. So there were things passed down to him, which I'm sure belong within the system of Reiki. But also there's his own research, so his own history of wanting to feel better, you know, well-being. I think it's all about well-being
Yes.
and really, you know, finding that balance, you know, this between, you know, I was talking about earth and heaven and the heart, finding that balance in ourselves between our minds and our bodies and our breath. So allowing that balance to occur through practices, and that's what we're doing with the system of Reiki. We're allowing ourselves to find that balance back. And we do that by not trying to control it. We do that by actually letting go. Because if we're trying to work out, you know, if I'm going, oh, I'm going to make this happen and that happen, what part of the body am I working from, Robert? I'm working from the head, right? It's my mind. And that is an imbalance. We use our minds way too much. So what we really want to do is get grounded. You want to breathe into it and allow everything to find its natural balance with each other. Just historically, before you ask a question, it did move from Japan to the West. A lot of the system of Reiki that has existed until, I would say, you know, definitely the 1980s was largely American, US based, because the woman who brought it across from Japan lived in Hawaii, and she had Japanese parents, and she learnt it in Japan. So she brought it across, and it spread like wildfire eventually, right? Towards the end of her life, she taught teachers and it spread. But there wasn't a lot of infrastructure, which means that the actual practices are quite varied in the West. And this was the reason for wanting to actually research it and create the Reiki Source Book. So going back to trying to find out what was taught in Japan and how it was taught and how that actually helps us to understand what we're doing better. Because if we're doing practices that have all these different ideas and that, then that doesn't, we don't know what we're doing. When I first learned this practice, I learned a very messy sort of Reiki course, and I really had no idea what on earth I was doing, but I loved the idea of it. But there were all these bits and pieces that didn't make sense, and they're actually in the Reiki source book, so you could look it up and say, oh, now I know why I'm doing that. Yeah, I know I'm doing that practice because such and such introduced that, right, in 1991, right? So you can look up those sort of things. One more thing just about the history. Yes, it's a Japanese practice. It is influenced from all over the place through Mikao Usui. I wouldn't say that it came from India originally. There is definitely, I mean, if we look at Buddhism came from India, moved up into Japan, across to Korea, and then across to, oh, sorry, to China, to Korea, to Japan, and came to Japan in the 600s. AD. So it's been in Japan a long time, lots of influences. And the system of Reiki is not a spirit, is not a, it is a spiritual practice, but it's not a religious practice, but it has definitely influences from Buddhism, Shintoism. Yeah. And we can see that, which is interesting because we can research those aspects then. Japanese people, if you get married in Japan, then you do all these different things, including Christian practices. So one part of that getting married will be to wear a white dress as a woman, and the guy will wear a nice black suit, and there'll be a priest, so sort of Christian. And then there's these Buddhist aspects to it, and then there's Shinto aspects where you do stuff for your ancestors. So the Japanese are very good at just integrating all these different things into their lives without going, oh, I am a blah blah blah, like we tend to do, you know, I'm this specific religion or not. So that's the system of Reiki is a bit like that. It blends a whole bunch of things together, all Japanese influenced. Yeah, there were, you know, there were things at one point where they'd say, oh, it's from Tibet, or it's only because they actually didn't know the Japanese origins, because they hadn't been, they really weren't out there. But since I'd say the late 1990s, there's been a great deal of interest in Japan, and now once again, it's sort of picking up again there, because there always was. an association that existed in Japan. And that association had sort of almost died away after World War II, but still existed. And now that is starting to grow and come back again.
Okay. My special guest, Bronwyn Logan on Guys Guys Radio. The book is The Reiki Source Book, all about Reiki. And as you can see, for those who are watching, it is a very full, deep book. It's got so much information about the practice. Now, for those who are unaware, Reiki uses some symbols with names, like one of them, Shokurei, is a power symbol. And some folks say we should not share those symbols. I personally believe that it should be kept. If you're a practitioner, you should keep those symbols to yourself. There's other people who sell pendants with it on there and put it out there everywhere just to spread the word of Reiki. What's your perspective on that, Bronwyn?
Yeah, okay. So when I first learned it, I was sort of taught that as well. And I think there was a superstitious sort of thing about a lot of aspects of the system of Reiki because they didn't know in the West their origins, right? So if we look at the symbols and mantras, we can actually see where they come from. And I would say that if you're in Japan, you can actually see that first symbol drawn in different places, especially if you go to temples and things like that. It's actually quite a how do you say that? I think it's actually a symbol, weirdly enough, that does cross across countries and cultures because it is quite an original type of symbol. So if we look at, let's say, the third symbol, that's simply kanji. The fourth symbol, simply kanji. So we have the first two symbols are symbolic of things. The second symbol, interestingly, can be traced back to original Buddhism as a seed syllable in India, so
Saheki?
Sanskrit. Yeah, yeah. So
Saheki.
Saheki is the name.
Do
Yeah.
you allow, what's your opinion about even mentioning the symbol, the word? Is that okay?
Look, I don't have a problem with it. When I first started, when writing the Reiki Source Book, it's 20 years now since it came out. I guess what I would say is that it's like, say, you'll get this. So if someone comes to you and they want to learn the system of Reiki, right? And they come to you and they say, oh, look, I don't need to do Reiki 1 and 2, just teach me Reiki 3 because I've got a world of experience energetically, right? Well, that doesn't really work, right? It
Exactly.
just, I mean, because you actually need to learn things step by step. Because that's just life. It's like saying, I'm going to be an engineer. I just want, just give me the, just tell me I'm an engineer and then I'm an engineer, right? No, you actually need to learn things as you go through. Same with this practice. And that's why there's these different elements that I was talking about. So I have absolutely no problem actually talking about symbols and mantras, whatever, but I don't see any point in someone learning something before they need to learn it. Because
Right.
what is the point? It just doesn't have that value for you. And, I do feel that, I think that each of those symbols and mantras, when we learn them, I mean, in the Western style, they're very much about this idea of putting them into people. In the Japanese style, it's all about self-practice. So I use those symbols and mantras for myself, for my practice, and we use them as training wheels, like on a bike, right? So they're there to bring me into this feeling and sense energetically. And when I feel really strong with that sense, so the first one, for example, is very much about grounding in the hara. Remember me talking about the earth? That's it. The second one relates to the head, to the heavens. The third one to the heart, to this that balance of those three things coming into, balance with each other. It's about us, and it's about making us feel balanced in ourselves. And the more balanced that I am, then of course I'm going to be a better practitioner person, and I'm going to feel happier in myself.
Okay, so the way it works for those out there who are interested is you get attuned by a practitioner, and so you learn how to draw the symbols, you learn how to pronounce the symbols, and then learn how to work with the symbols, and then at a certain point you're attuned. My understanding was that Reiki 1, you get about 20% of your quote unquote kind of Reiki power, if you will. And then when you get to level two, you get to up to about 60%. And then the third, you're up to 100%. And then you get to the master level where you can actually attune other people. What I found was there was a huge difference. I took my time purposely, and I'm glad I did. I took a few years between each level so I'd really practice and understand the differences and do it the right way. And I felt that after I was attuned at the master level, that I remember I was sitting on the beach and I was looking at the ocean, and I felt like I could reach out with my finger and reach out a couple miles into the ocean and just dip my finger in. My perspective of the world changed forever in a really good way. Now, why is that a good thing? I don't know, but it just felt like everything was more together and less separate. And I also felt my intuition was raised. My vibration felt like it had been raised. And one of the other great things is, even though you're attuned maybe at the highest level, you can continue to get attunements from other people, other practitioners. Yeah. So it's like this, there's no lose with Reiki. To me, it's just a really wonderful, wonderful practice, because you can work on yourself to put yourself in a position to heal. You can work on other people to help them put them in a position to heal themselves. And you can do things from a distance. It's just a wonderful, wonderful practice. And they're also using it in hospitals now. I was operated on about 10 years ago, and I was reading the literature beforehand. They said they had Reiki practitioner, and I had somebody work on me after my procedure, and it really made a difference. So I have nothing but positive things to say about Reiki. Have you heard anything negative, any pushback from the medical community? Well, I know nurses are learning it like crazy now, but have you gotten any pushback about, oh, Reiki's bad because it's this or that?
I don't think anyone would say that Reiki was bad, right? People use this term, which is it can do no harm, which obviously, if it's just us and our energy, no, it can't do any harm. But something can do harm, and I'm sure you can guess what that is. That's the human.
Right.
So, you know, so we need to be very, which is why something like this book is really helpful, the Reiki Source Book, because it's actually informing and educating people so that they're not going to do things and harm people by telling people about themselves. You know, this is the issue I find with the system of Reiki, with people who don't know what they're doing, haven't really taken the time to educate themselves, then they're going to get confused because they don't have a grounding in the practice. And they're going to start doing things. They're going to go, how does that work? Or maybe I could do this, or maybe I could say this. And when we do that, we can start doing things which aren't actually aligned with the very basic, simple principles of the practice. And we can start doing things which could actually be detrimental to a client's health. And that is only like if I'm telling someone, oh, you've got, you know, something here and, you know, I saw this happen to you. And, you know, when we start doing stuff like that to people, then that is not the system of Reiki, because it's so much simpler than that. And it's, I always say the practice itself is the healing, right? So when someone comes for a treatment, that's the healing. It's not whatever I can blurt out to someone or make myself sound like I know what I'm doing. That's because I don't feel confident in my practice if I'm having to do that. And, you know, if we can be confident enough in our practice, then we can actually let go more and really be in the energy and be open, not needing to manipulate or create. If we can actually remove those onion layers and be in that real core human self, then that's a purity, and it's a beautiful, pure thing. And there is absolutely nothing harmful about that whatsoever. So that is us feeling open. Yeah. Interconnected. But I loved your story about the sea. That was beautiful.
So for our folks out there, in terms of what is a practice, they're wondering like, well, what is a session? So let me start, and then you can pick it up from there. As you basically, you would lay down, and the practitioner will scan you, and they don't have to touch you. They can just put their hands over you and kind of feel where there may be some blockages. And then they will, you'll close your eyes, and then they'll use, they will intend, they'll put their hands in different areas of your body, starting usually with the crown, working their way down. The session could last about an hour. And they will intend a specific symbol while they're doing each portion of your body, each hand movement. And at the end of that, you should start to feel released. Now, why don't you take it from there and really tell everybody the right way?
Well, you know, I mean, it's very simple. It's a very simple practice. And I always tell people when I'm doing a treatment at the beginning, I say, so if you see it like this, I go into a meditative state. Yeah. So I go back into just breathing relaxed but deep and open and not trying to create anything of myself. And I open with my intention, I'm opening that up to you to be here with me. And I always ask my clients to give this intent for themselves so that they say it to themselves. I'm open to receive whatever it is that I might need at this exact moment in time. So it's not like I'm saying, or that they're saying, oh, I need this and this to happen. If we're doing that, we're actually restricting what's going to happen, right? So what we really want to do is to say, I'm just going to let my body decide. I'm going to let my mind take a little rest, let my body decide what it needs right now and give over to that. Let go, release was the word you used at the beginning of our episode today. So giving over to that and allowing that to happen. And that is sort of how I see it. I actually don't, in the Japanese style, we don't actually use the symbols and mantras on people. We use them on ourselves to bring ourselves into a balanced state. It's what I was saying, like bringing ourselves into this sort of, a balanced, open space. The more that I'm in that and I'm sharing that with you, your body feels that. And it's like, it's like it gives over into that. And we sit there together in this lovely open space and the energy just shifts and moves and does whatever it needs to do. And we allow that to happen. And that is really, it's very deep and very profound. So even words like blockages, you know, so I always laugh. There's a little thing that if someone, I once had a student in the class, well, actually it's happened quite a few times where they've said things like this and it's, someone said, oh, look, I'm not sure if I can do that because my heart chakra is blocked, right? And I'm like, okay, so first I need you to tell me, how do you know that? Well, what the answer always is, never shifts. Yeah, it's always somebody told me.
Yeah.
Right, so you asked before what's dangerous, right? It's the things that we say to people, right? We can't say things like that to people because, you know, imagine if someone said that to you, wouldn't you feel that your heart, then could you love someone if your heart chakra is blocked? Could someone love you if your heart chakra is blocked, right? It starts to set up all these insecurities inside of you rather than supporting you and helping you move back into the state of balance and well-being. It's someone else's insecurities really giving you, problems. So practitioners need to not put anything onto a client, not make any judgments about a client, and really just be there for the client in this open space. And that is incredibly hard, and it's part of the practice. If we can stop trying to be something we're not, because when we're something that we're not, you know what we're doing? We're adding more onion layers on top of the onion, right? So I'm trying to be a practitioner. I'm trying to be a teacher. But instead, I just need to let go and to really be me, allow that to be enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my special guest, Bronwyn Logan. The book is The Reiki Sourcebook. And there's so much in here for our audience. Tell people like what they can expect to get out of this book and what some of the sections are.
So it sort of comes back to the things I was talking about at the beginning. We talk about what is Reiki. What a pretty looking book. Anyway, such a lovely new cover. I really love it. So it talks about what is Reiki, what we were talking about at the beginning. So, you know, Reiki is a word, means it could mean spiritual energy is a direct translation. It also means, it's got lots of different meanings, but Then we've got the system of Reiki, which is working with Reiki, so working with this energy and doing practices that are aligned to that. Talking about those five elements that I talked about, the things that we work with when we're working with the system of Reiki, so the symbols and mantras, and meditations, practices, precepts. So they're really important. The precepts are. The initiation process, that's really interesting as well, right? So just these different elements that we work with, and it goes into all of them, where they come from. It talks about the history in depth. It really actually looks at we what we did was I wrote this book with my ex-husband, and what we did was we looked at all these manuals. We collected manuals from teachers all around the world. We went to Japan. We spoke to teachers. We trained in different lineages, and we did all of this to try to find out how it all fitted together. And it's like a puzzle because people hadn't really done that before. So if you are unsure at all about any different aspects, it's a great reference book because you can look it up in there. It also has the different lineages in there, so where they all come from. Who started them, at what point they were started, what their influences were, and then it has a section on practices. So there are practices from Japan, there are practices from the West, all different practices, what those practices are, where what lineages they belong to, when they were introduced. And then, as I said, it's got an amazing glossary at the back where you can just
Absolutely.
look up all the little bits and pieces. So that's it, it's really a book for anyone interested in the system of Reiki, but I think for me, I just think any Reiki practitioner would want it on their shelf because if you come across, if you're talking to someone else, like we're talking, right? And you mention something and I go, well, I actually don't know what that is. You can look it up, right? And you can find out. So education is the thing. We can go, oh, I don't know, and just do anything. But I don't think that serves the practice. Right. I think that the more educated we are, the better foundation and understanding of what it is that we're doing, better practitioners that we're going to be, and the system of Reiki, people are going to have a lot more respect for it. I think because it's gone off in so many different directions, that means that, some people, it can be confusing for people. You go on the internet, you have a look for it. It's just like,
Got it.
what on earth was that?
Okay, my special guest, Bronwyn Logan. The book is the Reiki Source Book. It's chock full of information, as you can see, and as we've discussed, it's just an amazing book. And I think for any practitioner or somebody who's interested in learning and being in tune for Reiki, this is a great book to have. So congratulations on that. Well, thank you for coming on to Guys Guys Radio. Thank you for putting up for me with me and my questions and my some understandings and some misunderstandings about Reiki, but you're doing terrific work, and I congratulate you. And I implore everybody out there, if you have even the slightest interest in Reiki, learn more about it, do your research, and a perfect place to start is the Reiki Source Book. Bronwyn Logan and Franz Stein, thank you so much, Bronwyn. I hope we can do it again at some point.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Robert.
The station that makes you feel good.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a terrific conversation with Bronwyn Logan about Reiki and her book, the Reiki Source Book, which is, you know, it's all close to 500 pages. It's a deep dive on Reiki. So any question you might have about Reiki is probably going to be answered in this book. It really is a timeless reference book for practitioners at all levels worldwide. And Reiki is being practiced around the world. Now, what did we learn? I think we learned that similar to massage, Reiki can be hands-on, but it also can be hands-off, where you just hover your hands over somebody's body in different areas. People keep their clothes on and everything when they do a Reiki session. They usually lay down, or I can have people sit. I've worked on my parents and to help them just kind of alleviate stress. And I believe it works. It does a lot of great things to release a lot of the tension. And it's not magic. It's just similar to a massage. You get a massage and you feel better, you feel more relaxed. And then you're in a position to kind of heal yourself. And it's the same thing with Reiki. It's very gentle, obviously. I use different hand positions that I've been taught, and I intend the symbol through my kind of through my third eye that I want to use for that particular position. I usually work from the crown down, and this is what most people do, and this is how I was taught. And again, I do sessions on myself, and it really helps me relax. It helps me release sometimes tension and stress and blockages that I have within my own body, mind, and spirit. And it's been a real help for me, and I don't see any downside to it. And it's not in lieu of, if you have to take your meds or see your traditional Western doctor, it's not about that. It's not about one or the other. They're teaching nurses Reiki now. As I mentioned, I had a Reiki session after surgery, and it really helped me out. And I find it's very gentle, and it's just a way to really use the Reiki symbols and the intention to help people just relax and get that energy cleared so they can be the very best version of themselves. I'm going to leave you with just a quick set of Reiki principles. There's a lot of different versions of this, but I want to read this for you. Just for today, I will be grateful. Just for today, I will do all my life's work honestly. Just for today, I will be kind to every living thing. Just for today, I will be grateful. And that's part of the Reiki credo. There's a lot of versions of this, but that's really what it's all about. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, guys, finish first.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.